Welcome to the Paddle Pilgrim Podcast, the podcast that explores life, relationships, and the human spirit. I'm Dave Ellingson, author, educator, and seeker of wisdom. In this series of Say What? A Fresh Look at Old Sayings, we will explore what my mother and generations of adults have said to their kids with ants in their pants. Go outside and play.
Go outside and play. It all began with this ants in the pants kid driving St. Leela of Ellingson. I just sainted my patient and loving mom. St. Leela would exclaim with wide eyes, "David Richard Ellingson, go outside and play." If you've been listening to the previous two episodes, we have taken apart her sentence and commented on go and outside. Let's review a bit. Many of the world's greatest leaders' essential message began with go. Moses, St. Francis, Sacagawea, Jesus, my mom. But it was more than a plea to get out of my hair, although after the plagues in Egypt, that would have been the message of the Pharaoh to the Hebrew slaves. On a deeper level, go is the command or the invitation to go on the great adventure of learning and discovery at the heart of a well-lived life. Put simply, when we go, we grow. The best examples are little children who are constantly on the go. As little scientists who are constantly experimenting and learning. Educators put the first 3 years of life as this vital time of learning. But we go and grow and learn in different ways. Learning styles vary from verbal to visual, interpersonal to intrapersonal, naturalistic to mathematical, from musical to kinesthetic. I always tried to use all these learning styles so that I was reaching all of my students. I coined this formula, 20, 40, 60, 80. To summarize my pedagogical philosophy, we remember 20% of what we see, 40% of what we see and hear, 60% of what we see, hear, and do, and 80% of what we see, hear, do, and tell about. My research in service learning with colleague Mark Jackson demonstrated that if we prepare, act, reflect, and celebrate, we demonstrably show personal transformation as well as societal impact. Finally, we should keep going so we keep growing. Neurobiological research shows that you can teach an old dog new tricks. With good nutrition, exercise, stress management, and meditation. So go, go, go. But where do we go? A host of wise people invite us to go outside. Black Elk asserts that the Holy Land is everywhere. And spiritual writer Thomas Merton says, the gates of heaven are everywhere. Much of Jesus' teaching as a wandering rabbi takes images and stories from the natural world. He spoke of vines and seeds, soil, trees, water, and flowers to show how interconnected we are and how the natural world outside can become a teacher. Outside can also involve going outside your comfort zone, pushing boundaries and stretching your body, mind, and spirit. There will be growing pains, but also growing gains. I love the Nordic wisdom contained in the word friluftsliv, or fresh air life. Nordic people are outside in all four seasons and proclaim there's no bad weather, only inappropriate clothing. It's no accident that studies of the happiest places on Earth usually have Norway and Denmark, Sweden and Finland on the top of the list. So we go. Where? Outside. What happens next? We play. Back to those first 3 years of life and how much children learn, most of that learning happens not in the classroom. It happens as children play. They are busy, active, and use all their senses as they play. Ever try to keep up with a child? I'm pretty fit, but I get exhausted watching my grandkids play. A Dutch historian and cultural theorist, Johan Huizinga, helped me understand the importance of play when he speaks of what it is to be human. The language often associated to distinguish humans from other primates is Homo sapiens. Play is also a primary way culture is learned and transmitted. Sapiens means wisdom. And humans are unique in their ability to reflect and to reason, although we often fall short of wisdom. Huizinga says there is another characteristic of humans which ties us to the animal world. He calls it Homo ludens, which means the playing human. His point is we learn and become wise, Homo sapiens, if we continue to play Homo ludens. Outdoor educators have incorporated this wisdom in a growing movement of outdoor learning opportunities called nature kindergartens. Once again, the Scandinavians have been at this for some time, but Scotland has also been a pioneer that sends kids outside to play, rain or shine. No plastic toys, just trees, leaves, dirt, and mud. Sounds remarkably like the woods I was banished to by my mom. I soon learned, however, my banishment was a blessing, as I enjoyed my classroom where I explored and played hour after hour. When it was time for dinner, I didn't want to stop playing and learning outside in the great classroom. At Trinity Lutheran College, early education professor Sue Hoglum and I turned a gray parking garage rooftop into a green garden and the Acorn Learning Center. We created a forest, a desert, a garden with veggies and snacks, and a meadow for just relaxing. Parents reported their children couldn't wait to get to school, and the sounds of the little ones laughing turned any rainy Northwest day into pure sunshine. Jesus' disciples thought he was wasting time with the little ones, with children, and he was clear that to them belongs the kingdom of heaven. And so he played with them, and they became teachers to the adults. One of my favorite stories is Exupéry's Little Prince. In the great outdoor classroom, he grasps this fundamental lesson when he says, "It's the time you waste on your rose makes all the difference." So the classroom becomes even more, it becomes a cathedral. On my kayak adventures, I often have to put down my paddle and simply be present with all my senses to the natural world. When I can't go outside, my imagination plays with pictures and memories and animals and creatures in my mind. King David learned these lessons as a young boy and as a shepherd in the great classroom and cathedral. In his Psalm 104, he sings of creatures both great and small, and playfully describes the great whale that the Creator made for the fun of it. The great Celtic mystic and theologian, Hildegard of Bingen, wrote, "All of creation is a song of praise to God." This creation-centered theology is symbolized in its own unique cross, with vines woven into it and a circle symbolizing the earth, connecting the vertical and horizontal branches of the cross. Earlier, I described Jesus as an environmental teacher because he drew many of his images and stories from what he saw along the roads he traveled and the lakes he sailed. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Galatians, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." As I pondered this passage, I realized that at the heart of the Christian good news is grace and mercy and forgiveness. I see that freedom in the play of children. Play helps us adults rediscover grace and freedom. I like to see the Jesus of justice as not only casting out the money changers in the temple, but as the playful Jesus with children in his being the life of the party at the wedding feast, where the wine ran out and he turned the water into a vintage celebration. I mentioned earlier the Nordic word fri luftsliv, or fresh air life, as wisdom in the outdoor school, and part of the reason Scandinavians are generally some of the happiest people on earth. If you watched the recent Winter Olympics, you certainly noticed that this little country of Norway, of 5 million people, walked away with, or should I say, skied away with the most medals, far more than much larger countries. While it may be true that the Norse are born with skis on their feet, another reason is a major contributor to their success. As children are involved in a sporting event, Norwegians don't keep score. They ski and jump and skate for the pure joy of the experience. In other words, they play. Certainly they compete as adults at the highest levels, but children just play. And that carries into adulthood with a spirit of cooperation as well as competition. One of my favorite stories tells of a Canadian skier who was well ahead in a race, but broke her pole and fell back into the pack. Suddenly, a man on the edge of the course ran out and gave her a new pole. She regained the lead and ultimately won a silver medal. Who was the ski Samaritan? It was the coach of the Norwegian team, whose own skier thereby ended up without a medal. When asked about his act, he said, "If you win but don't help somebody when you should have, what win is that?" An amazing example of the true Olympic spirit. I close with some creative and playful thoughts from none other than the great reformer, Martin Luther. Often portrayed as the angry leader of the Reformation, taking on the corrupt Roman Catholic Church, Luther taught we are not saved by our works, but by grace through faith. Childlike faith sees how gifted and blessed we are and that we are free to enjoy life and play in and care for the garden we've been given to tend. Luther is reported to have said, "If the world were to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree." And Luther certainly went outside and played and came to understand life on the deepest level in these words. Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf of springtime. Long ago, my mom told me to go outside and play. Little did she or I realize how much I would learn when I put her words into practice. Spring has arrived and the sun is shining. It's time to go outside and play.
Until next time, I'm Dave Ellingson, and this has been the Paddle Pilgrim Podcast, the podcast which explores adventures in life, relationships, and the human spirit. Tune in and subscribe to the Paddle Pilgrim Podcast on your mobile device or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. For more information on my books and films, check out my website, paddle-pilgrim.com. And thanks for listening.